You're listening to Packers Talk Network.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
Therapy. It's Packers Therapy. It's Chris and Dave on the midst of a four-game, count them, four, one, two, three, four, Packer winning streak. They beat the Bears, the hated Bears, 30-27 on a last-second field goal by a clearly stoned Mason Crosby. Packers move to 8-6. Dave, what do you think, my friend?
Well, I was thinking about something, and I wanted to talk to you about this. I was reflecting on a season where we lose a key player in the middle of a season. We have to kind of change the whole offensive scheme because they lost that player. It's a season where like we are really hurting with the running back, and finally a running back emerges toward the end of the season. A season that we think is just dead in the middle of the way, and we get hot near the end. A season where Rodgers gets hurt and has to play hurt. You know, a season where we lose to Atlanta, but we kind of see it as a moral victory middle of the season, and one where we lost to the Cardinals at the end of the year, and to kind of come back into the season really off a really disappointing loss. But enough about 2010, Chris.
You know, one of our email correspondents had made that point, and I'm going to get this. It might have been, was it Eric or Andy?
Andy.
Or maybe it was Andy.
Yeah, because he brought up some things, too, that I thought, let me look him up because it's worth, Andy Monday. Andy Monday.
You sure it wasn't Phil Tuesday?
He took time off from his private detective to come up with that.
Nice. You know, he could be the Packers therapy private dick.
Yes, he could. I could put him on assignment for a few things.
He also could be our investigator, but that's a whole different subject.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, from Andy Monday came up with that, and so you're gravy training on Andy's good work.
Mm. Fair enough, except I did think it, even though I may not have made it public.
Good
it's
for
not
you.
It's like I have a forum to let my thoughts be known about the Packers, but I did think that if the Packers turned it around that this had some similarities. But yeah, Andy kind of – now I want to call him Andy Dick, which is now a different person. Andy kind of kicked off that I thought there's more, and we kind of, in fact, he went into more detail of losing to Arizona at the last game of the previous season, and then Arizona got blown out the next week, which I guess happened last year and this year, in 2010 this year. The next season, the Cardinals didn't make the playoffs, which it appears to be, and it looks like the Packers are headed for a 10-6 record if they win out. It's really, the comparisons are very Kennedy Lincoln like, don't you think?
Well, yeah, in that Kennedy Lincoln were both presidents and both people.
Haven't you ever heard those comparisons? Like,
yes,
Lincoln
I've
had a secretary named Kennedy, and Kennedy had
I've heard that. And I, you know, I wrote back to Andy. By the way, before I tell you about my response to Andy, he had a couple of brilliant, I mean, these are first rate similes. I don't know if he always writes this way or if he's saving his aim material for us. The first thing he said was he used the simile "crazy as a mime with a microphone," which I thought was simply aces.
Have you used that yet?
No. Well, he used it, and yeah. I think that's great. Yeah.
And then in his
reply to me, he also used "as ridiculous as an ejection seat on a helicopter," which. Nice work, Andy. Those are outstanding. Yeah. Now, I didn't agree with the 2010-2016 parallels. I can see why you would make them or why Andy would make them. I don't think this is a team of destiny, though. I think this is – well, I think Davante Adams had it right when he tweeted after the game, "Great team win today. Shitty performance by Davante Adams, but we pulled it off." All that matters. Go Pack, go. Props to Davante Adams for being self-deprecating. Well done, 17. But I think he's right. It was a great, you know, team win. You got to like it anytime you beat the Bears, especially when you even the all-time series at 94-94-6. That's all good. But this team has got so many fatal flaws. If they are somehow able to make it into the postseason, in other words, if they do win out, go 10-6, they do control their own destiny now, that to me is their Super Bowl, making it that far. This is a team that their best player is hobbled. You know, he played well. Aaron Rodgers played well. But their defense, without Clay Matthews, you're relying on a how old is Peppers? He's like 48 years old. You know, he had a great play, no doubt about it. Huge play to start the second half. But you can't rely on that as being your guy. I mean, they've got cornerbacks that are having difficulty covering. Haha, Clinton Dix had a nice game because he was standing in the right place twice. I mean, they've been fortunate the past couple of games. I think they caught Seattle on a down game on the road outside, you know. And I think that the Bears are the Bears, even though they almost gave that one back. So as much as I want to believe that, you know, 2016 can be 2010, I just don't see it. And at this point, I think the best the Packers can hope for is to win these last two games and reach the postseason.
And you don't even think they're going to do that, do you?
No, I don't, actually. I think that they have a better than even chance of beating the Vikings, although I think that is going to be a tough game for them. I don't think it's a good matchup. And I think when they play at Ford Field, and we've seen too many games of lousy Lions teams at home somehow managing to beat the Packers on Thanksgiving, I think that's where the depression will set in officially, is when they lose to the Lions on the last game of the season. Is that New Year's Day? I think that's New Year's Day that they play them.
Is that? Yeah, and they play Minnesota. You know, they are a beaten team right now, and you know they could turn. I suppose they still have a chance at their record. But they could turn everything around if they beat the Packers. So they're going to give everything they've got against the, this week. So this is going to be a tough game. Unless they give up. You know, if the Packers can get a lead early, I bet, you know, Minnesota could give up. And the fact that Adrian Peterson came back, I think, creates confusion with that offense. It almost might be better if he doesn't come back. But
Well, they had plenty of confusion in that offense before.
Yeah, they did.
Adrian Peterson came back. I hesitate to say this because the moment I do, AP is going to, you know, go off big time. But I don't think he's the player that he was. And it's not just because of this most recent injury. He wasn't playing well before the injury caught him against the Packers. I'm not sure he's the player any longer. And there's a shelf life. There's an expiration date on NFL running back, something I want to talk about later on in reference to Ty Montgomery. So I'm not sure that Adrian Peterson was what he was anyway, although, you know, again, this I've said it now, and so you know what's going to happen, right? He's going to, you know, break loose for 146 yards or something against the Packers on Saturday. But I think they're offensively challenged, but they're good enough on defense to cause the Packers trouble. And that makes the game on Sunday almost kind of a crapshoot, you know, when suddenly you have two offensively challenged teams, offensively challenged for different reasons, you know, then it comes down to the vagaries, you know, of luck. And I don't like when that happens because the best team doesn't always win then. Right now, I think the Packers are probably the better team and they're playing at home. I just don't like this matchup for Green Bay.
Even Minnesota, that's interesting. I think they're going to get Minnesota's best shot, but I think being at home is enough. Being on grass, I think, will slow things down. They're not an electric offense. I think they had their one shot at home, opening stadium night. You know, that was their time to beat the Packers. I don't think they can do it in December outside. It's the Lions game that's going to be, you know, that's the playoffs. And someone made the comment that this season has been entertaining because it's been the playoffs for the last 4 weeks, right?
Exactly.
So, you know, once we go into the playoffs, and that's sometimes when teams are good too. They've been playoff tested and ready as the playoffs start. So you have some teams like Dallas, you know, they could end up coasting here at the end. But actually, there's probably other than Dallas and New England, there's probably no one that's not, you know, it's been kind of sitting back and letting the last few weeks go. But we got to hope that this is true, is that the one thing I'm kind of holding on to is that the defense, you know, last week against Seattle, we said that defense played really well. They were flying around. They were emotional. And I think when this team on this defense plays with emotion, they can be a different team than against the Bears when I think they just, between the cold and the lead, I think they just gave up. And I think, and Dom Capers, I think, went to a very conservative scheme, which I never understand. I feel like, yeah, maybe the bomb can get a, you can get a quick score and kind of get you back in the game, but that's why you don't blitz. You know, you kind of play a soft zone and let them, you know, if they're going to go down the field, let them chew up the clock. Man, everybody in the world knows that doesn't work, right? That's really frustrating to me. Why wouldn't you take your chances, and if you get beat by a long pass, well, then you can maybe adjust because, you know, you still have a more than 7-point lead. It's not like a touchdown is going to put you back. So go after their quarterback. Make them make plays. Make it tough on them. Don't – the soft zone business is awful.
Well, wait, you know, I'm going to – now, maybe, you know, we saw things differently on here, but I think this is maybe a darker interpretation. My view is that the Packers did try to blitz. They just didn't get home. They don't have, you know, people that can consistently rush the passer. I mean, their guy that can do that is playing with one arm, and he's not playing, what, more than 40% of the downs.
He shouldn't be playing at all.
Well, that's something I think that we should talk about. I mean, are they better playing with kind of a Clay Matthews at a 60% ability at 40% of the downs, or would they be better making him inactive and hoping that, you know, a week of rest makes him a better player? I'm not sure if the decoy value of 52 on the field is worthwhile or not. The fact is, I don't know that their defensive scheme was as passive as you suggest. I think they were trying to blitz. I just don't think that they can. I don't think that they're capable of it at this point. They don't have guys that can do that. You know, Jayrone Elliott hurt his hand. You know, he was playing with the club. They're not playing with Nick Perry now. Like I said, you had the 56-year-old Peppers out there. He's not getting it done consistently. He'll have a play a game or so, but that's it. They don't have a lot of guys that put heat on the quarterback. So I'm not sure if it's conservativeness or if it's just the fact that they don't have a lot of pass rushing talent, or at least a lot of healthy pass rushing talent right now.
Well, that might be true. I thought I read in one of the articles, either Pete Doherty or Bob McGinn had said that they kind of went to a softer zone. It certainly looked that way. It looked like, you know, there was very little man-to-man. There was, what's his name, the receiver for the Bears, was just kind of curling into an open space and catching
Elson Jeffries.
Was catching 8-yard passes, you know, boom, 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 right down the field with no one really, you know, guarding. It was all kind of keep it in front of you. And, you know, Dom Capers has done that in the past. But I don't know if I specifically saw only 3 or 4 guys rushing all the time. They might have brought, you know, 5 a couple of times. But
right,
you're right.
Yeah.
When one is Clay Matthews, who I watched him a few times, I mean, he really gave you absolutely nothing. But then I don't think you saw much from Dayton Jones. I think Peppers took a play on, play off like he usually does. But I think, you know, when they played Seattle, they played with a different intensity. I think they pushed back, they fought, they you know, I think they really gave an extra juice to get after Russell Wilson that I think they'll do in the playoffs, and, you know, not against the Bears when it's super cold and you're winning by, you know, whatever, they winning by 17 points at one point. I think that's, it's human nature to sort of take the foot off the gas, and they just, it was too early, and there was enough time, and they do have deficiency in talent. There's no doubt, and as guys get hurt, it hurts a lot. Micah Hyde, to me, is someone I was really getting frustrated with. I didn't realize that Demaryius Randall was playing so bad that he had to be benched, but apparently so. But I thought Micah Hyde was just always trailing guys, but he made a huge play
in the end zone. That is true. I mean, Micah Hyde is physically limited. There's no doubt about it. But he's a football player. He can do a lot of things. He plays hard, other than, you know, the 2013 postseason didn't make that interception against San Francisco. I'm trying to forgive him for that. But still, you know, he is going to give you a good effort. He just does not have all the physical tools that a lot of other players do. But when you're counting on him to make that play, though, that just that just tells you how much you miss having Sam Shields on the field. It tells you a lot about your team when you're not only playing with an injured Clay Matthews, you're playing with a limited Jake Ryan. You get Martinez back. He's coming right off of an injury. He's not 100%. I know Nick Perry at all.
Right.
Elliott got hurt.
Right.
It's like, okay, let's take Clay Matthews out. Well, who's going to play? I mean, they don't really have a lot of guys left to play, or the guys they do have to play are, you know, playing at 3/4 speed or 80% themselves because they are nursing an injury or coming off of one. There just aren't a lot of good options right now for the Packers.
Yeah. No, the Packers really got saved by the turnovers. I think they would have lost this game if it wasn't for – I mean, that was an enormous play coming out of the half to have what Peppers did with a strip sack and getting the ball right away. I mean, they only got a field goal off of it, but that could have been, you know, the Packers being down right after the half, and the game really changes. And the interceptions, too, a lot of times they drop that ball, and it's good to see them catch it. You're right. I don't think he was necessarily covering anyone. He's just there. It was in the right place.
He was at the right place at the right time. And, of course, you know, a lot of the defense's problems might have been masked if Davante Adams can catch those two balls that hit him in the hands in the end zone.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I thought what was the first interception? Oh, I guess that was on the Hail Mary that was intercepted.
Yeah, you don't count that one. Yeah.
No, right. I think the defense, I'm not ready to say this team is not going to win any games in the playoffs or go to the Super Bowl because their defense is terrible. But it looked terrible in the second half of Chicago. I go back to that Seattle game and think, you know, if they can manage it enough, get a few guys healthy enough, and play with inspiration, maybe they can, if the offense can score, all they got to do is get a few stops, you know, 3 or 4 stops in a game. Then I think that this team could still be dangerous. I mean, I think the Bears game, everything they had, you looked at John Fox after they were down, you know, quite a few points. I was watching the game with the Bear fan, and I thought, why would Bear fans stay in the stadium at this point and watch this game in the cold? And sure enough, they came back. So I feel like we got the Bears' best shot and won. And I think that says something. We might lose those games in the past. So maybe there is something to this team that's still got life left.
Well, I agree that they're playing hard, and they're playing with life and with urgency, and, you know, they're getting a little traction on the offensive side of the ball. And I don't think there's any question that, you know, Ty Montgomery, I mean, that was a heroic performance, 162 yards. Can you, sir, now I know you were off today, so you had time to look at this. Who is the last Packer running back to gain more than Montgomery's 162?
I know the answer. I don't know where I heard it, but I know the answer. It's Sam Congato.
Yes. How do you solve a problem like Sam Gatto? Yes. in 2005. Yeah.
Another thing I stumbled into that you capitalized on. That was a great, great line. Yeah, but I mean, it was great. This is what defenses are giving the Packers. They're finally taking advantage of it. And his running game, he looked great running. He averaged 10 yards a carry. That's really remarkable. But at the same time, I don't know if – I watched Christian Michael run too, and I feel like Christian Michael should probably carry the ball as much or maybe even a little bit more than Ty Montgomery. I know that probably doesn't sound right after the game we just saw. But Ty Montgomery dances around a lot. He seems to find – he found a lot of open spots against Chicago. He breaks tackles, you know. But I think against a better defense, I don't know if his move of kind of dancing around and bouncing things to the outside rather than hitting, you know, the hole hard like Christian Michael does, I don't know if that's going to be successful against every team. So maybe it's a 60-40 rule. There are some teams where Michael is better as the 60, and there are games where Montgomery is better as the 60. What I would like to see is Ty Montgomery catch more than 2 passes. This was a game where I felt when we were punting and punting that we went back to kind of throwing the ball downfield. Rodgers getting caught, you know, at 2 seconds, 3 seconds, the ball is not out, and now he's running around. And how stupid was it that he ran a few times as slow as all get out? What was he accomplishing there? He's getting himself hurt. His linemen, I think, are getting hurt because, you know, they're still blocking, and it's more of a chance of guys falling on each other's legs. If he's got to throw the ball out within 2 or 3 seconds, at least while he's hurt. It really frustrated me, and I felt like when they were punting, I mean, they had quite a few punts this game. It wasn't like the offense set the world on fire. They had one. They went down and downs, 2 punts, 3, 4 punts. You know, I feel like it's because they go back to that offense where everything is down the field, and after 2 or 3 seconds, nothing's open, and then it's kind of the free-for-all. Really frustrates me.
You know, I'm not sure. I've kind of changed my view on this a little bit. I'm starting to think that a lot of it is Rodgers hunting for a better option. I think that a lot of these quicker routes, shorter routes are there, but he doesn't want to be Charlie Checkdown.
Yeah.
So he's going to hunt a chance for a big play. And even on the game deciding play, the 60-yard bomb to Jordy Nelson, I mean, he had shorter options. And, you know, he would much rather, you know, go downfield for the big hit. I mean, that's kind of his personality. I don't know that it's a bad idea because he's been highly successful doing it. But his game, you know, is to look downfield. I also don't think it helped this particular week that I think there was a lot more press man coverage this time around. And I think the Bears took away a lot of the shorter stuff or a lot of the quicker routes than some of the other opponents had done. So the combination of those two things, I think, resulted in Rodgers holding the ball longer this week than he has in the past. And if teams do that, and I think it would be smart to do that because he just is not as nifty in the pocket as he was before the injuries, and he certainly isn't as quick running, and he shouldn't because he's going to injure himself worse. So, yeah, if I'm the Vikings or the Lions, I'm taking away those slants and the quick things and looking at Montgomery out of the backfield. I'm going to take that away, and if he wants to hunt the long ball, let him because that's what he wants to do anyway.
Yeah, that's how I would play the Packers, but I think, you know, you can play downfield with your receivers and hope they catch it like Devontae Adams should. But, you know, if it's not there, then, you know, make a quick decision and dump it off to Ty Montgomery. There is one third down. I won't know which one it was. It was one where we punted. Ty Montgomery is in blocking, and, you know, he's just kind of back there dancing around with some guy. If he were to kind of pop out, I think that, and we talk about this over and over, there's like 5 to 10 yards after line of scrimmage where there's no one there. All the defense and receivers are down the field. If he could pop out and you could give it to him, you know, let him break tackles that way. So I think part of the reason that 30 points is still a decent amount of points, but it wasn't every drive successful. And I feel like they're not going to be successful unless they're consistently throwing the ball to their running backs and Ty Montgomery being one. I did like them throwing to Jared Cook for first downs.
Yeah, that was nice.
Move the chains, get the first down. You know, there were a couple of Jared Cook catches that's what he's there for. But, you know, having said all that, I mean, we might have lost this game if he wouldn't have chucked it down the field to Jordy Nelson.
I know. I know.
The nice thing is Jordy looked like the old Jordy there, right? He looked fast and got behind the defense.
Yeah, but he didn't look like the old Jordy when he dropped 2 balls downfield that hit him in the breadbasket. You know, yes, it was nice. There was a partial redemption for Nelson at the end, but he also dropped 2 balls that were highly catchable, and they were the kind of plays that, you know, Jordy circa 2014 would have made.
Yeah.
And it was disappointing to me just to see him not be able to come down with those contested balls, especially, you know, when they did hit him. I mean, they were right there. You know, they were contested, but they weren't so contested that he shouldn't have made those plays. So between him and Adams, you know, it made this game probably closer than it needed to be. Adams cost them 8 points for sure. But, you know, if Nelson can grab those 2 other passes like you should have, they weren't that difficult. You know, maybe they put up 40 points, you know, 45 points, and this game isn't even as close as it wound up being.
Yeah, I agree. At least Nelson's, as you say, were contested. Adams was not. I mean, they were as easy a catch as can be. It's hard to know. I mean, there's part of me that thinks this is the Adams that we'll always have. He's going to be great and bad and great and bad. And he's never going to be just consistently awesome. He's not going to turn into Greg Jennings. You know, he's always going to be a little bit of, you know, Bill Schrader, or, you know, he's just not going to be awesome.
Ouch. Bill Schrader?
Yeah, I was trying to think. Maybe
that
for,
Bradford,
I was thinking. Bradford was, wasn't Bradford
just
a guy?
Why don't you just go with Jeff Query? I mean, if you're going to trot out names of stiffs from the past, I mean, I know Bill Schrader had a 1,000-yard season, or a couple of them, I think.
That's true. Well, yeah, he played with Brett Favre, and he was like the main option for a few games. The other thing that really mystifies me, and I'd like to, I don't know if you've read anything about it, is what happened to Randall Cobb?
You know, that was on my list of things to mention. As a matter of fact, I think I saw his visage on a milk carton.
Yeah, I saw it in a tweet. Someone showed there was a pass, a first down pass to Jared Cook, and Cobb was open as well. He just decided to go to Cook. I think this offense is really churning on all cylinders. Jordy Nelson and Cobb get an equal amount of catches. You know, they're kind of that 6 to 8 catches game range. Adams gets your, you know, 3 or 4, and some of those might be deep because he can kind of play that role. And then you've got your running backs and tight ends getting their catches. But I don't think having Cobb be shut out completely means that there was very little that Rodgers wanted to throw short. Because I think that's what Cobb's game is. It's kind of the cutting across the field.
Right.
And he just refuses to throw that ball. And again, you know, Nelson and Adams catches all 4 of those. We're not even probably talking about it, but I don't know. I think Cobb's got to be in the offense.
Did you see the article, which I should have made note of this, but it was talking about how Aaron Rodgers, especially when he throws the ball deep, he likes to go outside the numbers. He does not like to throw especially deep in the middle of the field, which is interesting because that's where Jordy Nelson was. And the reason being is because there's less chance of interception when you are throwing on the side rather than throwing in the middle of the field, at least when you're going deep. And I'm just wondering, it's because the place where, you know, Cobb makes his living is in the middle of the field. I'm wondering if that's why sometimes he, you know, can be taken out of the offense if you have a bigger target like Cook and you have Cobb, who's a smaller target. You know, which one's most likely to make the catch and which one's most likely not to result in an interception because you have, you know, a big, strong target. And that maybe was part of the factor. Also could be because I believe Cobb is he also has an injury. He has an ankle injury. And so maybe he wasn't as able to get open as he might typically be. And, you know, when you have other good options, maybe he just doesn't compare. So the combination of those two things maybe result in the fact that he just only got one ball thrown to him and it was incomplete.
Yeah, that could be. I mean, I just saw the one play, and it could be that he was covered all game and he was, you know, the other options were there, and it just is the way it sort of fell to it. But I think you want to get him involved in the offense. I don't know how many third and short situations the Packers were in, but I would think if he's in the slot and he comes out and cuts across the field, that's going to be open more times than not. That's like a staple in most offenses, and that just gets you the first down. And he can break tackles. He's a good runner with the ball. So I'm glad they didn't hand off the ball to him anymore.
No. I think now they have another guy that can fill that role. Makes me wonder, though, Dave, and I don't know if we saw it this game. I think we've seen it in the past. You know, we have both Cobb and Montgomery in the backfield, you know, like either side of Rodgers in the shotgun. I would think that is going to cause some interesting matchup problems. If both of those guys are going to, you know, flare out to the side, how are they going to cover that? And then if you also have 3 other receivers, that might make for some interesting matchups. And I think we've seen it this year. I'm not sure, but I'd like to see more of that because, you know, then you've got a couple of guys that can function really well out of the backfield. And how are you going to match up on them when they're both in the backfield?
I think they like Gripkowski too, you know, carrying the ball, catching a few. You know,
did he play? He didn't get any carries. He must have been out there.
I think he was out there, yeah. I don't know. He got no carries, yeah. But yeah. I think he is a fullback. You know, they don't do a lot of no one in the backfield, one player in the backfield kind of stuff. So Rybkowski is kind of on the wrong team for his skills. But, you know, if you do that, Cobb and Montgomery in the backfield at the same time, I guess you could have, you know, one's going out and one might stay in block, and you don't know which is which. So as a linebacker, who do you cover? I think that could be really interesting. Maybe we'll see some of that. They're going to have to pull out all their options here against Minnesota and Detroit, I think.
Yeah, if you had a package where you had either three wide receivers or a tight end, two wides, and Montgomery and Cobb, you know, two guys that play that can play in the backfield but also catch passes, I would love to see them matched up on linebackers. I mean, that would be terrific.
Yeah, I don't know if you give up the chance you're going to run the ball, because say you hand off to one, is the other one going to be a lead blocker? I don't know if you would do that, right?
I don't think I want Randall Cobb being a lead blocker. But, you know, I mean, Montgomery's a bigger
yeah.
bot.
Yeah,
that's possible.
What do you mentioned of Michael, though? I thought his average was 11 yards, but I guess one was for 42 yards. That helps.
that definitely helps. Yeah, he had three carries for 3 yards and one carry for 42
yards. That's true. Oh, yeah, that average is – but I like the way he runs. I mean, I think I can see why they like him. And I think next year, if your running backs are Montgomery, Michael, and I think Lacy, you sign him for 1 year, I think that's a really interesting backfield. You have lots of options there.
See, and then I don't think you have to draft a running back then.
Right.
And, you know, or if you do, you draft late. Right now, what I'm concerned about is because there are a lot of running backs in the upcoming draft that they're going to wind up using an early pick on a back, when I would much rather see them address some of their other needs, especially, you know, on defense. So if they can sign, and I think Lacy's going to be affordable, given the fact that there's concerns probably about his size, and also because he's had a big injury this year, they might be able to get him on a reasonable one-year deal. And then you have, I think, three very attractive running options, and you can focus then on the rest of your team. I think that would be a terrific solution. So that's a free agent I'd like to pick up, you know, Eddie Lacy.
Yeah, I think if you were to use a number one or number two on a running back or wide receiver, I would use a wide receiver for sure. If you had the wide receivers that you have, or maybe even a tight end that's a really special player, but if you had another really an amazing offensive player as a receiver, and those are your running backs, you know, you could really make this offense special. I it's a passing league. It's a passing team.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that, but just think about the other side of the ball, though, okay? Dayton Jones is not an answer at running back. You've got Julius Peppers, who's 64 years old. You've
He's getting
got
older all the time.
Yes, and then you've got 52, and he's hurt a lot. You know, he's good when he's okay, but he's hurt a lot. He's getting older. Your linebackers, you have a dearth of linebackers, in my opinion, at least, you know, difference-making guys. And you're going to have to move on, certainly from Peppers, but probably also in the not-too-distant future from Matthews. I think if they're going to use a one or a two, Dave, I don't think they're looking on the offensive side of the ball. I think you've got to be looking at the defensive side, probably at a corner. I mean, Sam Shields is probably done, right? I mean, that's... I'm guessing his career is over. We have seen very little from Randall and Rollins this year. That gives me a lot of confidence going forward. Gunter is a try-hard guy, but he's limited in terms of speed. 33 is another try-hard guy, but I think they've gotten the most they're going to get out of Micah Hyde. So I could see him going for a linebacker or a corner if they're going to use it early in the draft, rather than spending it on a wide receiver or a running back.
I don't know. I think they've shown no ability to draft defense on a high pick.
That's true.
Any
except
ability.
For Clay Matthews. Now that was a good pick.
Clay Matthews, you know, what? B.J. Raji was fairly
that was a
successful.
Good pick.
You know, Kenny Clark. What I would do instead is, you know, I think you can find your Kenny Clarks down at the bottom. So I would maybe not number one, but I think with a one or two, I would go after a really good wide receiver and make your offense so good that your defense doesn't have to be that good. And
who are you?
Just...
Are you Matt Mellon?
Yes.
You draft a wide receiver in the first round like 3 years in a row?
Yeah, well, not 3 years in a row. I'd do it once. I would make this team really good on offense. I mean, while you have Aaron Rodgers, you're going to score and score and score, and then hope you get guys healthy, build up, you know, through undrafted free agents. Oh, and then I would also, this is heresy in Green Bay, but I would go out and I would fill in a need on defense with a free agent. I would go spend some money on someone that is a desirable player. I don't know who that is. I haven't done my research on that, but I'm sure there is a linebacker or a cornerback who would be out there that is going to be attractive for someone. Pay up the money, get a guy in there, and take care of one of those needs through a free agency, because drafting one or two assures you nothing. I mean, they went through the draft last year. Who has been a difference maker on this team through the draft last year?
Well, you know, earlier in the season, I would have said Martinez. But after his injury, he's, you know, I think is this his second game back now he's been? He's not been a difference maker the way he was early in the season. I thought Blake Martinez looked like a good pickup for them in the draft.
Yeah, well, fair enough. But, I mean, you look at I think there's nobody last year, Martinez included, that's making a difference. Yeah. Kenny Clark certainly is not.
He's Kenny Clark. He was 20 years old when he was drafted. He's 21 now.
Yeah, but you need him now.
Well, right, exactly. He's the kind of guy that he hasn't grown into his body yet. I think, and he's undersized. I don't think he's muscled and rocked up the way he needs to play in the NFL. I think he's going to be a good player.
Maybe,
but I don't even think next year. I think it's going to be the year after, and the year after he's only going to be 23. Of course, he'll be getting ready for free agency by that time. But you know, this was the reason that pick surprised me is because I just don't think he was ready to play for real in the NFL, or at least to be a difference maker in the NFL. I think down the line he will be, but that's too bad, because by then Mike Daniels is going to be 2 years older, and you won't have your, you know, rock'em sock'em defensive line that you need.
Yeah, but you know, here I'll make an argument for you on your side. You could say, well, if they didn't use their draft picks on defense, they wouldn't have Randall, Rollins, or Gunter, right? I mean, they're in their
Gunter
second
wasn't
year.
Gunter was undrafted free agent.
Correct. All right. So say Rollins and Randall, you know, and now they're second year, and we count on them. They're important players. Tonight I was watching a little bit of Carolina and Washington.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
I was doing my football workout during a football game, which
good.
We can talk about. But that's why I did it. There are guys all over the league that are Rollins and Randall. I think there are second year players, third year players. Some have been in the league for six or seven. You know, there is nothing special about Rollins or Gunter, or I think even Randall at this point. Randall might turn into a better player. But you know, if we gave up a pick for a more sure thing on offense for our first round, we didn't have Randall, we would have another guy in that spot that we would be, that would probably be benched against the Bears, just like Randall is. So I just don't see, you know, your strategy of say we got to draft defense. I don't know what the scouting department's doing. They don't do it on defense. They haven't been successful in my mind.
Well, I agree that they haven't been overwhelmingly successful at stacking that side, but I don't think that's a reason you quit. I mean, you still have to play defense.
Well, use free agency. You use free agency a little bit to help you.
Well, I'm not sure though that you can even. I mean, how many free agents can you sign? I mean, you know, there's a limit to what you can do. Even if you were willing to spend on free agents, I don't know that you could get enough of them in free agency, at least good players, you know, that are worth the money that you spend for them. I just think that's where they need the infusion of talent is defense, and maybe you get it through free agency if they're willing to go that way. I mean, and they have in the past. I mean, they got Ryan Pickett that way. You know, I think that what's his name, Charles Woodson. I think he worked out pretty well for them in free agency. I mean, Ed Peppers actually. You know, even though the guy is 73 years old now, he wasn't always that old. And he was pretty good his first couple of years. I thought that was a good pickup.
Plus, but I think the team likes him. Like, he's a team captain. I don't know, if he's a work ethic guy, he's a good influence on the younger players. I think he seems
tells
to have
guys
more,
to lay down after an interception. Yeah.
We'll never forgive him for that.
Never.
I'd be interested in the listeners, their response. Would you rather take the draft and take iDraft pick and be excellent on offense and be maybe less than average on defense? Or would you try to – what you'd end up doing is if you don't draft an offense, your offense will probably stay closer to average. You maybe raise your defense so you have a higher floor but lower ceiling. Or would you rather have a really high ceiling on offense and do the best you can? I think you win this league if you can score a lot, and then on defense you get the other teams one-sided, and then, you know, all some players get better because they're only having to do one thing.
Well, it's soul-crushing to me to have just a lights-out offense and not being able to stop anybody on defense. And I reference 1983 and 2011. You know, both of those teams were outstanding on offense, and their defense was bottom of the league. And it was so hard because the offense would score and score and score and score, but the defense could never, you know, keep the other team out of the end zone. And it wasn't a surprise. Now, I know 2011, you know, they were 15-1, but they're one and out in the playoffs.
That's true.
And in 83, you know, they were 8-8, and they missed the playoffs.
Well, they weren't nearly as good on offense, though.
Look at the stats. Look back at those stats. They're top of the league. I'm not sure if they were number one, but they were right at the maybe number two in the league that year.
Yeah, I just felt like Lynn Dickey was, you know, he was an immobile quarterback. They didn't have a great offensive line. They had really good skill players, and Dickey had good games. But fair enough. I mean, it is soul crushing to watch your defense give up so many yards and go 15-1. I understand that's hard. But you got to pick pick one way or the other. You know, I think if they keep trying to draft only on defense, you're going to get another level of guys coming in next year that's going to give you little impact. You need your Kenny Clarks and your Martinez's to kind of step up. Your Jake Ryans and their corners need to step up and get better. I don't know if they're showing their upside as being that high that you'd have that much on the defensive side. But we should take a break.
Well, before we do that, there's a couple. I did look it up. In 1983, they were second in yards, fifth in points, and then defensively, they were last in yards and 26th in points, which was in those days, I think they had 28 teams. So, so that's what I'm talking about. I mean, it was terrible. In fact, they had they allowed 439 points. They were fifth in the league with 429. So even though they are fifth in the league, they gave up 439 points. That's just terrible.
Yeah. No, the floor on that defense was way lower than this defense. Even if you lose Peppers next year and let's say, I don't know. I mean, they should keep most of the guys there. Hopefully, I mean, who else could they lose?
Dayton Jones, I think, is up.
Yeah.
Is Micah Hyde? He might be up.
Yeah, those two guys will probably be not that expensive. Again, I think there are Micah Hydes. I like Micah Hyde.
Sure.
There are Dayton Jones for sure all over the league. I think that is, you swap him out with someone else, and what you need are A players, and you know then you got the rest that fill in, and hopefully they have a good game or two. Dayton Jones is not going to make or break this defense next year. So I think they're going to have, you know, their floor is where they are now, and it's not terrible. And emotionally, you know, they can get up for a game or two and maybe win on defense, but I think it's the offense that matters with this team.
Well, Dave, you know what they said about the 1983 Packers? You can beat our pack, but you can't lick our dicky.
Yes, I do.
You do remember that. Good,
I do.
Good.
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
Okay, good.
I wish I could forget it.
I think we should take a break.
Let's take a break.
Is your glass in need of refreshment?
I poured it mid podcast, so I'm okay.
I just thought you had an incontinence problem.
No,
but that was important. Okay, good. All right. We're going to have more Packers there. The bad news is we're going to have more Packers there.
Yeah, you could turn off at any point.
At any point at all. But then you'll miss the betting lines that are coming up.
Unless you're a prisoner of Afghanistan and they use this as the torture. There's more Packers therapy on the way.
Yeah, that's the bad news. It's Chris and Dave. We're talking more about the 30-27 Packers victory. Fourth win in a row on the way to six, right? To close out the season. Back in just a sec. As promised, more Packers therapy with Chris and Dave. You know, I want to pick up on something, Dave, that you mentioned in the first half of the podcast.
First hour and a half?
Yes. Well, first, half is a relative statement.
Yeah.
You said that being on grass slows things down. Were you,
that's what Mason Crosby's problem.
Were you talking to Mason Crosby? I just want to
enough
clarify.
Enough about Mason Crosby, Chris.
That's exactly right. Because I think he does – He does need to get his props, and you know, if the guy wasn't so blitz, I don't think that he would have been able to hit not once but twice.
Yeah,
was able to hit that field goal, and I just wanted to give the guy some props because he is often overlooked. I think he wasn't in 2012 when he struggled, but he has been overlooked because he hasn't been called on to make a lot of last second field goals. Because generally speaking, the Packers win their games. When they do win, they win them pretty comfortably. But this is one, you know, that required him, as time expired, to hit the field goal. And, you know, even if he was, you know, more blitzed than, you know, Bob Marley at a Rastafarian meeting, the guy, you know, was deadly. And somebody mentioned on the radio that he probably would have hit that thing five straight times. If Fox could have called four more timeouts, he probably would have hit him anyway.
Yeah.
And he has become that reliable, and especially when you consider that, you know, he plays in bad weather oftentimes, or cold weather, and on a natural surface outside for the most part. And I just want to give the guy a little bit of props because we've been talking a lot about the offense and the defense and what they should do and what they haven't done. And let's remember that they won this game because Mason Crosby, you know, came in and was able to stare it down and get by the freezing, not just the temperatures, but the John Fox freezing, and hit the field goal. So I wanted to give the guy his due. Props, Mason. I think you should go burn one down.
Yeah. We should keep track of a Mason Crosby career stress meter, because his stress level game after game is very low, right? I mean, I thought I heard that he's been called upon to win a game, like, it's single digits, right?
I think it's eight.
Yeah. I mean, that's a lot
and
of
he's,
games.
He's like a 10-year veteran, too, right?
Yeah. It's a lot of games where I think he comes in. I mean, he may miss he's certainly lost games and won games by hitting field goals, you know, in the second quarter, in the third quarter. So,
sure, yeah.
But, you know, in terms of games on the line, like, what was the guy for the Colts and Vinatieri, who seemed like eight every season? So
yeah, you know, and we saw one of the ones where Mason failed, though, right?
That's right. That was against
with
Dr. Detroit.
Klaus. Yeah, yeah,
that's right.
Dr. Klaus in the Detroit game, and you know, I mean, that was just a mishit.
Yeah.
Well, he actually mishit one against the Bears in this past game, but somehow it knuckled through, and I thought at first it was blocked or a bad hold, and no, I think Mason said he just hit it fat, you know.
Yeah. Yeah,
and it's probably a wonder he was able to even walk out onto the field, given how high he was. So,
yeah.
Well, I give him a lot of credit for that.
He came down as the cold will do that, I suppose.
I suppose.
We should also give credit to Aaron Rodgers. This was a rare where he leads us not from behind, but you know, kind of a game-winning offensive drive. There's not many of those in his career either.
True.
And even though it wasn't a last-minute score and it wasn't come from behind, he engineered a late fourth quarter drive that won the game. And, you know, there has been a lot of games and a lot of years where there's been very few of those. And so I have to give it up to him. It was a high risk pass.
Yeah.
Going, you know, third and long and then going for all the marbles at once. But it worked. And thank goodness that Jordy caught that ball. And it was, I suppose even the Bears were surprised to see someone go behind their deepest safety. My buddy who watched it with me, who's a Bear fan, was just beside himself that the safety let a Packer get behind him. That's the only way they could win the game. And I thought, yeah, I suppose, but the law of probabilities would say that everything would scream that the Packers would try to get the first down and not go for a 40-yard pass. So it was
60-yard pass.
Well, that's
pass.
What it turned out. Yeah, 40-plus. But, yeah, I don't know if that's something you – could anticipate, and I think it was a high risk. If you had told me that's what the call was, I would have thought that's crazy. But it worked out, and you got to give him credit when it works out.
You know, I almost wonder if that really was a high risk pass, because what happens if you don't make? I mean, the game's still tied, right? I mean, you haven't lost the game, and it would have had to come up on what, fourth down? Then they would have punted. Probably Bears probably don't score. The worst is you go to overtime.
I don't think so. I mean, let me look up. If they would have – so on that play, there was – well, there was 31 seconds left. So, yeah, say that that ball is incomplete. You punt. The Bears have it with, 15 seconds maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the Bears had a timeout. I think they did have a timeout left.
I can't recall. You might be right.
So they might have been able to stop the ball. It would have been stopped on the throw. The punt, they would have had it. Well, maybe they would have had, in the 20s. So you're right. It probably most likely would have gone to overtime. But the way the Packers defense was playing, I would not have liked our chances.
That is true. I think they were, besides, being limited anyway, they're probably gassed at that point. And the cold weather, I'm sure, didn't help things either.
No, and the offense was 3-and-out the last two series, which is how – I mean, 3-and-out, we took up 2 minutes and 16 seconds on the first punt and 1 minute and 52 seconds on the second punt. So, I mean, not only was we, end up punting, but we took no time off the clock. But the offense really – why did that happen? I don't understand why the offense went into a complete fail mode at the end of that game. I mean, the first drive, they handed off to Montgomery, short left to – Nelson, that it was 3rd-and-3, and then Rodgers got sacked. That was another one of those dancing around, don't throw the ball.
Right, exactly. Now, that one surprised me because 3 yards, I would thought they would have gone on rhythm and got that.
Yeah, on rhythm, that's right. Then on the second series, Adams drops the ball. That's the game right there on first down. Then Montgomery left tackle for 4 yards. Then on 3rd-and-6... Rodgers ends up scrambling. He only gets 4 yards, and he gets pulled down 2 yards short. That one, I think, if Rodgers was healthy, I wonder if he gets the first down on that one. Then the game is almost over there.
That's a good question, but he, as I recall, two guys brought him down and one quite hard. I'm not sure even if a healthy Rodgers is going to make that one. Just the Bears were there, and they stuck him pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, there is the one play when he ran so slow and got caught behind by a tackle.
It's like watching
just
me.
Throw the ball away. There's nothing good can come of it. I mean, his getting hurt with his fault, I mean, I blame him for that. That's just playing stupid. I don't see that. They were talking on one of the radio shows of how courageous he played. I thought it was fairly stupid rather than courageous. What did you think of that?
Well, I don't know if I would I don't think it was courageous. Let me get that straight out. I think that he was stupid. Maybe I would go more with not smart. Okay. I think there's a certain amount of instinct that people play with. And, I know you were a pretty competitive volleyball player. And you know that when you play, you're not always – thinking intellectually. A lot of it is just instinct from training and practice, and you just do what you do because that's the way you've been trained to do it. You don't intellectualize it, you don't think about it, you do it. And I'm wondering if Rodgers maybe got himself into the game, you're into the groove, you're into the moment, and so he winds up making some decisions that weren't smart, but they were just his instincts taking over. And then he's probably running and saying, oh, that's right, I can't run, can I? I'm hurt. And I think that's what probably happened. He was letting instinct take over, and he wasn't thinking about what he was doing. He was reacting to a situation. So that's my – I don't think it was a premeditated, I'm going to run, and that would have been stupid. I just think he did it because that's what his instincts told him to do based on what has he been playing football 20, 25 years. That's probably – programmed into him. That's his game. That's what he does.
Well, I mean, fair enough, but when you have a week of preparation, that's all you do. You have coaches upon coaches that give you game plans, and I think at some point you kind of take your instinct and you become programmed in what you want to do. And not running the ball, get rid of it, dump it off, play for another down. I mean, all that has to be being told to him. And yet, I thought a couple of those runs, I mean, especially the one, which one I'm talking about, where he, did he think he was going to run for the first down? It was like 3rd-and-long. He was running as slow as like you or me, And there's just no point to that. I don't know if he's still got a chip on his shoulder. He wants to be, look, I can be Brett Favre too. You know, what is he trying to accomplish? He just be Tom Brady, throw the ball away, dump it off. I think dink and dunk more often than not with this team is what's going to get them through into the playoffs and beyond. But I think more offensive series like they did late against the Bears, I think they're not going to make it, or they're going to be one and done.
You know, wonder what kind of adjustments the Bears defense had made too.
Yeah.
If something had changed in the way they were playing the Packers, was it different personnel? Was it, you know, different schemes they were calling that were taking things away they were looking for? Yeah, hard to know. You know, and how much of it was it just, you know, Rodgers, you know, passing up shorter things and looking downfield? It's really tough to know where play design and play calling ends and where, you know, player on the field decisions take over.
Yeah. Well, the 3rd and 3 when Rodgers got sacked, I feel like that's something I would wonder. What was the play that was called? What did he see? You know, who in the film, you know, who kind of graded poorly on that play? The second punt, you know, if Adams catches that ball deep, then all of this is not an issue, right? We don't even talk about maybe any of this. So the Bears lucked out in that they were, I mean, my goodness, there were four with two Nelson, two Adams deep drop passes that would have, you know, probably resulted in, maybe they scored. I don't know if they scored anyway on any of those drives, but I know on a few they
did on the Adams, they scored field goals.
Okay.
To touch on. So that's why I said that Adams cost him 8 points, because instead of getting touchdowns, they had to settle for field goals on those drives.
Well, and then the one that he dropped was, they ended up punting. So I don't know if it would have been a touchdown. It was deep left. I don't recall where he wasn't in the end zone, was he? We're at the Green Bay 27. It could have been that. No.
He dropped two in the end zone. That much I know.
Okay. Then maybe this was another drop than he had. I have to look and see the
replay. Let's see. Adams, yeah, he was targeted 6 times. He had 2 catches. So there were 4 that did not connect. That
so
was his direction, yeah.
Maybe he just overthrew Adams on that play. So maybe that wasn't one of the drops. But anyway, if they're going to do well, beat Minnesota, beat Detroit, I think the offense has to be clicking as good as it was against Seattle. I mean, it's got to be sharp, few mistakes, drop balls, you know, you got to knock it off. But they're not going to face the cold weather. I guess up in Green Bay, what's the weather going to be like this Sunday?
Do you know? I think it's supposed to be, I mean, it's going to be cold. Hey, it's winter time. But I think it is going to be, let me just double check here. I think in the 20s though.
Yeah, that's
which compared to, you know, let's see here, looking down Saturday. Oh, partly sunny and 28, which I got to tell you, for Christmas Eve, partly sunny and 28, that is some fine weather.
Yeah, look forward to that. That means weather is not going to be a factor. It won't be a factor in Detroit. And then teams they play in the playoffs, I guess what they would do, it looks like they would host. If they win the next 2 games, the most likely will host, it probably will be New York. I thought I saw. No, maybe New York Giants. And then they have to play, you know, Seattle might be a cold game. Dallas won't be necessarily too cold a game. So they only have a few cold games left. And this one probably won't be one against Minnesota. I mean, 30 degrees is
that's not bad. I mean, yeah. if especially if it's partly sunny, it doesn't say what the winds are. It's hard to know at this point. But, you know, assuming, you know, your typical 10-mile-an-hour winds, you know, partly sunny in 28, it's a noon start, too, as I recall.
Yeah, that helps.
Yeah, which means, you'll get the warmest, quote, warmest part of the day. So that's not bad for late December in East Central Wisconsin. That is all right.
Yeah.
Hey, as a matter of fact, Dave, because I know you probably won't be home, but Christmas Day, 35.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, boy, above freezing.
Shorts weather. Yeah.
It's gonna feel like it because Sunday here, it was the high was -3.
Yeah, that's awful.
Yeah, so that's So Chicago, when they were above zero, we were jealous.
That's right. Overall,
one thing.
Oh, go ahead.
It's one thing I wanted to ask you about because I know you're a connoisseur of this sort of thing. I really think in the future, they really need to run Ringo on that play from the sidelines because Guion did not get the job done.
No, they timed that really poor. Actually, what was interesting with that play is Guion almost hit Micah Hyde when he ran on the field, and Micah Hyde is deflected that ball, which turned into a field goal, which kept the game tied. I thought if he would have hit him a little bit harder, he could have screened off Micah Hyde and they could have scored. Can you imagine how bad that would have been?
Well, what I was hoping for, at first what I thought was going to happen was that Guion was going to pick that thing off.
That
would have been outstanding.
Then I would have called for that play to every single game. Bring the 11th player. You don't know where he's coming from. Is it a linebacker? Is it a lineman? Is it a safety? Comes off the field. That would have been – or if he just got in the way of it and it just hit him in the helmet and it just dropped incomplete, would have been great. I have been watching that Christian Ringo play, and it makes me laugh every time.
That's Don Capers' newest innovation, you know, bringing in the defensive lineman from the sidelines at the – well, actually, it isn't even the last second. It's too late.
Yeah, that was on that one. You're right. I actually thought for a second, are they doing that on purpose?
Well, 2 weeks in a row, you have to wonder.
it's not on purpose. It's worse. It means there's confusion, which is not great either. We're in week 16, you know, next week, and we're getting these kinds of communication errors. That's not good.
Yeah, you wonder what's going. I mean, it's funny because they won, but you know, had they lost, or like you said, had Guion screened Hyde off of that ball, oh god,
yeah, that would have been
that's
awful.
Just like the worst possible scenario. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, it would have totally ruined the Christian Ringo experience that I've had watching that play.
Well, that's all I got for the game. I think maybe it's time to get to the betting lines.
Yeah, I agree. All right.
So what happened last week?
Last week, Packers beat the Bears. I'll go through the betting lines. All right, on the first one, we had a number of people, roughly about 20 people again, which is great. I'll give you the winner at the end, and we had about 7 or 8. I'll go through them real quick. Number one, I had asked you how many touchdown throws would Aaron Rodgers have. You set the line at 1.5, ooh, and he had none.
It should have been 2, though.
Yeah.
It should have been 2.
Fair enough, but it wasn't. I had the over on that one, so I got that wrong. How many interceptions will Green Bay have against Matt Barkley? You set the line at 0.5, and it was 3.
Yeah, 3.
You were not doing well.
Well, yeah, but I mean, come on now.
How many plays greater than 40 yards? You set the line at 1.5, and Mike has put down the number at 3. So
okay, so there was the 61-yard run by Montgomery, the 60-yard pass at the end of the game, and the 42-yard touchdown.
And the 40, yes, that's right. That's correct. So there are 3. Yeah. Mike has done it again.
Mendo Miller, man, that guy is nails.
He is. I got that one right, by the way. Number 4, Ty Montgomery, total yards. You set the line at 64. You're almost to the...
I think he had one run that just about equaled that.
You're almost to the yard of 100 yards short. He had 163 yards. So I took the under, so that's just as bad. Quarterback rating for Matt Barkley. You set the line at 94 flat. I took the under, and it was 81.7. Is that correct? Yes.
Yeah, those 3 interceptions will hurt your passer rating.
Yes, it will. Number of rushes. How many times will Green Bay carry the ball? You set the line at 23.5. I took the under, and it was 23.
Ooh,
very nicely done.
Ooh,
very nicely
beautifully done. Yeah.
Number 7, will Brett Hundley play? You said yes. I said no. The answer is no. Will Christian Ringo get a sack? We both said no. That was correct. I don't think he – did he register a tackle?
I saw him out there too.
I'm getting my Ringo jersey. and we did get some comments on our title this week of Ringo Stars and Packers Victory or something. I think someone asked us how long had we had that one in the bag.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It just came to us. It came to us at the last second.
Forgot who that was, but yeah, that was, you know, it did sound like something we were waiting, but really, Christian Ringo, we're gonna come up with something for him? Am I? No.
Then 7 3/4 leading rusher. You said Michael, and I said Montgomery. Montgomery is the leading rusher. And then the tiebreaker was the Aaron Rodgers quarterback rating. You said 96. I said 119.6. He was at 87, so he was.
Yeah, those two touchdowns would have really bumped up that pass rating. Plus, you know, if Jordy even catches one of the balls he should have caught downfield, that's more yardage. So in my defense, I think he would have had a much higher rating.
Yeah, that's true. Well, the winner this week was 7 correct is Patrick Keough.
Hey!
7 correct, and he will be in the casino or the hotel room by himself.
So our man in Dublin, I think that's I'm not exactly sure where Patrick is, but
we could send
he's a private eye to check it out. He's in Ireland someplace. Yep. Yeah, and we'll send Andy Mundy PI to go locate him. Now, do you think we'll have any problems with the immigration on that? Having somebody from the Republic of Ireland, I'm not sure. We'll have to do what. We have a barrister in the UK.
Yeah. Well, they don't have to live here just to spend time in the casino.
Well, I mean, you have to get in, right?
I don't think the problem is getting in. I think it's getting in and staying in and taking jobs. Isn't that the issue? Not that I am taking a particular stance. I'm just going the other side of where you're taking this.
Just keep on talking, Dave. You're doing fine right
the
now.
The immigration you're people talking about is not to visit. It's whatever.
Well, that'd Patrick, be Trump therapy. Yeah, we'll do that later.
Patrick can come over and stay in the hotel after his background check is done by Andy Bundy.
All right. So let's re-rack and set up the new lines. And that's at the Packers Therapy Hotel and Casino. That's in the Vegas – or no, the Laughlin location, I think, is what we're.
That's
what
the
we're
cheaper one, yeah.
That is the cheaper. But soon to open in Reno, so that will be something to see.
All right. So against Minnesota, are you ready, Chris?
Oh man, I am ready.
Just dropped my phone. All right. Number one. How many yards will Ty Montgomery get in rushing? Rushing only.
Rushing only. Boy, I gotta tell you, as great as this was to see him. You know, with these huge runs and looking, it's an aberration. I don't think we're going to see that, you know, on a regular basis. And Minnesota's got a good defense. What I say last week, 64, I think I had is that total offense or was I forgot what it was? But
you said 64. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to set the line for rushing this week for Ty Montgomery. I'm going to set that at 56.
All right. I am taking the over on that. Even though Minnesota's got supposedly a good run defense, I'm taking the over.
They have got a good defense, period. Yeah.
Yeah. Then number two, how many rushing yards will Adrian Peterson have?
Adrian Peterson. But, like I said earlier in the podcast, I think that his star has faded or descended, whatever you want to say. But I know when I say that, that means it's going to open the door and he's going to run wild through, a nicked up Packers defense. I think he only had like 30 yards, something like
yards.
That. Okay, this pass, it was a crappy performance.
Yeah. Only 6 carries, so they didn't stick with him.
Yeah, well,
they got down early, you know.
Well, that's all of a piece, and I don't know that they'll get down. This week the way they did last week. I'm going to think he's going to have a solid game, not a great game. I'm going to put it at 75.
Oh. All right, I'm going to take the under on that. I think they're going to get behind, but I think he will have a better game. I think he'll do better in 22. But 75, that's, that's
now,
too high.
There's a bold.
Number three, how many total yards will Randall Cobb have this week?
Oh, man. I believe he had 0, right, this past week? Okay.
You want to set it at 0?
So I'm going to say – I'm going to take a Dave Erickson and say, oh, yeah, I think he's going to do better than he did this past week.
Yeah, yeah, bold call.
Yeah, I think.
Hot take.
That's a hot take.
Yeah.
Let me see. Randall Cobb – is this total offense?
Total yards. Carries.
Okay, receiving. Carries in the whole – I think he'll get a couple of carries. And
not
I think
special teams. Not including punts.
Okay, right. I think he is going to get a couple of carries this week in the backfield. He won't have great success. So maybe 8 or 10 yards there. I'm gonna put that number at 61.
All right, I'm taking the over. I think we're gonna see a Randall Cobb resurgence this week. I think they're not expecting him, and I think they got a good defense, and they're not gonna. They'll probably be able to take away Adams or Nelson. And if I'm on the defensive side, I would take away Nelson and say, beat me with the other guys. Adams drops the ball. You're not paying attention to Cobb. I think this is Cobb's. I think Cobb gets over 100 yards. I think you're going to say that, right? Number four, how many total tackles will Clay Matthews have this week?
Oh, man. Did he even show up on the stat sheet? I don't think he had any tackles at all this past week.
I don't think he did. Nope.
Yeah, and I don't expect much more from him this week. I think part of the problem is I don't know that he can extend his left arm in order to make a tackle.
Yeah.
And boy, it's hard to say how much he's going to improve. Let me set the line for that one at 1.5.
1.5, that's low. I'll take the over on that one.
Oh, wow. I thought I was being generous with 1.5. I don't think the guy can make a tackle. I think it's a part of it is he's not able to move that left arm unless he knocks somebody down with his shoulder. I don't see it happening. But hey, take the over if you want. It's fine by me.
I think maybe they cut his hair. I don't know, but I think I'm gonna take the over. 1.5 is really low. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
Well,
there.
1.5 is much higher than 0, which is what he had this past week.
That's true. That's another hot take. Number 5. All right, stay with me on this one.
All right.
How many passing plays will Minnesota have that is equal or greater to 20 yards? Because I think Minnesota is the king of the dink and dunk. But they don't have the threat of going downfield, except for Stephon Diggs, who lit it up against the Packers last time they played.
Their quarterback is limited.
Limited. I'm looking at long. If you want to, they had 2 against Indianapolis. So, but they had 1 at 19, 1 at 17, 1 at 15. So it's not like they're, but they're pretty a lot of short stuff.
So their quarterback, of course, is Bram Sanford.
Yep.
Let's see. So I think we can call those above 20. Aren't they explosive plays? So how many explosive passes will they have? Or how many explosive plays in the passing game?
Yes.
Yeah.
However you define explosive. Yes.
20 yards or more. They've got that little – who is that little receiver they have, like number 14? Is that Diggs? Is that his name?
Yeah, that's the guy that had a huge game against the Packers. They have Cordell Patterson.
Oh, Cordell Patterson. Yes, he's a good kick returner and pretty crappy from scrimmage.
Kyle Rudolph had a 28-yard long catch.
That's right. He's a very he's a plus tight end. Yeah, okay. I'm going to put the number at explosive plays at 4.5. Pass plays.
All right, I'm going to take the under. That one?
Are you sure, Dave? Did you watch the Packers?
I know.
Secondary.
I think they come out with emotion this week. I think at home and against a rival, I think you're going to see defense A instead of defense B.
All right. I'm trying to help you here. That's all, buddy.
I'm going to put an asterisk on that so you made fun of me on that one. number 6, how many carries, so positive yardage from line of scrimmage, will Aaron Rodgers have this week? He had, against all common sense,
3, right?
3. He had 3, yeah.
Oh, well, I think that's actually a pretty good number. I think he might have hurt himself. I wanted to mention this earlier in the podcast. It looked to me like he might have irritated that calf during the game. And so I think he might even be more limited this week. But I'm going to put the number at 2.5.
2.5. All right, I'm going to take the over.
Okay.
I think you keep talking about Aaron Rodgers' calf, and Aaron's golden calf.
Now that
it's
may
gonna make a reappearance. Yes,
that may have been one of our best moments right there. Aaron's golden calf. Oh boy, and I think it was right around Christmas time too.
And we
kind of
worship it.
Our religious theme going. Yeah, that was outstanding.
I remember when I told someone they took their tablets and threw it down on the ground in disgust when they heard it. It was.
Well, is that an homage to Aaron because he likes to throw his tablet on the ground too?
No, that's what Moses did with the Ten Commandments. Don't you know?
I was reflecting when you remember that famous thing where he's got his tablet and he saw he missed an old theory. But you were going for Moses.
I was going all the way into the Old Testament. Yes, that's what the golden calf comes from. Yes, if you don't know.
I think I might have heard that story along the way.
Yes, is it?
I didn't go to Wheaton College, but I do know my Bible, my friend. Okay,
I did. Seven. I think this is going to be a little bit of a defensive struggle or a lack of an offensive performance. I think there are going to be a lot of field goal attempts. So my question to you is, how many field goal attempts will Mason Crosby have this week?
How many will he remember?
Attempts. We'll remember. I won't be high.
Well, I hope Mason's going to be really in a complete smoky fog. Good point. The weather should be conducive to the kicking game, and I think the Viking defense is going to be stout. I think this could be one where they do quite a few. I'm going to set the line at 3.5.
Ooh, that's a high one. I'm take under on that one. I think it'll be 3.
Okay.
The Bears game, but that's a good line. So 7.5, this is not a number, just an opinion. Do you think Adams will have more touchdowns or more drops?
I'm going to go more drops.
You're going to go more drops? All right.
I think he's going to have one touchdown and 2 drops is my guess.
Yeah, I'm going to say he has more drops than touchdowns. 7.75. Do you think, yes or no, do you think they run the Janus jet screen this week?
You know, I think they probably went away with it this week because they've done it 2 weeks in a row. But this will be the time to bring it back.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say yes.
Yeah, I'm going to say yes, too. I think it's going to happen. I think it'll be – I think they fake it before they actually do it. But I think
– Well, they did that this week. They faked it this week.
Oh, did they?
And in the first half. And I said, yep, they're going to run it in the second half. And I don't know if they didn't get to it or that wasn't a part of the plan, but they did fake it.
All right. So yeah, then I think that definitely comes out. And then the tiebreaker is Ty Montgomery total yards. What do you think on that one?
Total yards. So receiving and and not kick returning. What did I have him down? I had him down for how much?
You said 64 last week.
Yeah, but this week I put 56.
You said 56, yeah.
So I've got to add 56 where I think he'll get it receiving. Okay, I'm going to put his number at 90.
90. I'm going to say 75.
Okay.
That's. I think we're going to see a lot more Cobb this week. That's my player, my dark horse player. Do you have a dark horse player you want to throw out there?
Yeah, what do they call this on the Willie and Tausch thing? They call it your it's sponsored by a mattress company, right? It's the sleeper of the week.
Sleeper of the week, yes. You want to be sleeper of the week? You have
I would love to have that, but we don't have like Steinhoffels as our sponsor. We'd like to have Steinhoffels as a sponsor of Packers Therapy.
You could use another mattress. Yeah.
I would go with Mattress Firm. That would be fine. I would go with Bob's Mattress Company. I would go with them. Anybody who pays American cash.
Yeah,
that's who I want to have.
We just want money. We just want money.
We are dollar whores here. That's why we have a PayPal account. Did you know that?
We
have a PayPal account. You can go to PayPal. You can send money to PackersTherapy@yahoo.com, and that money lines our pockets.
Just send it. Yes.
Just send it.
Just send. Don't think about it. Just send it. Yes.
It's the Christmas season. Share with us. Well, what was the question again? Oh, sleeper of the week.
Yeah, sleeper of the week. Do you have one?
Somebody that you know who I think is going to turn up this week and surprise us? Dean Lowry.
Oh, you're going with Lowry, huh?
Yeah. He was quiet this week.
Quiet to the tune of no. Wait. Yeah, no tackles. Yeah, he was very quiet.
He did play. Now, each of the last 2 weeks, he had a sack.
True.
And I think, like Jeff Janis, who did not get his sweep, he did the last 2 weeks, didn't get it this week. I think Lowry is going to turn up again. I think he'll get a sack this week.
All right. It's more a player of a game, I think. You know, it's like this week, the player of the game would have been Ty Montgomery.
You want it that way.
Yeah, let's do it more a player of the game.
I thought you wanted somebody under the radar, a sleeper, you know?
Well, yeah.
Don't really expect to contribute, but he winds up doing it.
I feel Cobb is not fair. So let's say player of the game that's not Aaron Rodgers.
Okay. Player of the game that's not Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to go with Jared Cook.
All right.
Jerry Cook. Huh.
All right. We'll see. Cobb versus Cook. It has been. It's on paper. It's in electronic form. We're ready to go.
So if I wanted to play the betting lines on Packers Therapy, Dave, how would I do that?
You listen to the podcast.
Yes.
You make sure you have pad and paper, unless you're in a cell being tortured.
then you unless you're in a cell and they don't give anything sharp.
Yeah. Then you tell your jailer your picks.
And then have him email to Mitno Miller, right?
That's right. Mitno Miller, MitnoMiller @gmail.com. Send him your picks in, yeah, it could be in Excel, it could be in Word, you could do it in a PowerPoint. Mike is, he is a very sharp individual. He pulls everything together. He might be the best intern we've ever had.
I think he is.
I think so.
He hasn't fixed the audio problem, though. I think we had to rely on Eric for that help, right?
Yes, we did.
Eric?
We did. Is it Eric? And I found out Eric Lassen. I'm sorry, Eric. I don't have – it's from Racine, Wisconsin, where I'm from. At least he was born and raised there. We might have played
– Eric Lassen, yes. L-A-S-S-E-N.
Yeah, and we might have played Little League Baseball against each other. We're not – that can't confirm that, and – I can say that in those years, I was kind of a jerk, though. So you might have remembered I was a big complainer, if you can believe it. I would yell at my own players. I trash-talked. I did, even though I was little.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I did.
I could just see it. I could just imagine.
And it got worse through college. Yeah, it was probably into my 30s where I kind of laid off, because I had a podcast to broadcast my complaining. But he helped a lot. I took a day off today to try and fix the sound quality. If you haven't emailed us, quite a few people have. For some reason, Chris is drowning me out with his volume. And you would think it's my fault for not speaking loud enough. The mic is right here. It's that Chris is so obnoxiously loud. That's the problem. And I can't. So I have to somehow, I got to work the audio. And I think I've turned up my volume somehow and then decreased his. And that should highly improve the quality of this program.
Let us know what you think. We're using a compression software, and what that does is supposed to balance out the levels. But there may be a little hissing or a little white noise behind it. Let us know if the sound quality is better balanced, and if you find the little white noise behind us to be annoying. If that's the case, we'll find a different solution, or maybe if you just send us some money through PayPal, we'll be able to find a solution, or maybe not. Maybe we'll spend the money.
Chris, we're the white noise. It's all white noise.
We are definitely white, and we are definitely noise.
Yes.
So there you have it, my friends. Okay, let me see. Do we want to go pop culture? Do we want to talk about some of our correspondents here? Let me see. Well, we heard from Klaus. We gave us a Christmas greeting. We appreciate that. Klaus, thank you for being in touch. Let me see. Oh, we had Tom from the West Coast Offensive, being in touch, also commenting on the volume, and hopefully we've been able to balance those levels for you, Tom. Chuck was in touch with us to note that the Packers had tied, finally after 83 years, tied the series against the Chicago Bears at 94. We appreciate you checking in. The inventor of the iPhone, iChuck. Let me see. And who else was? Oh, Jared. Yes, Jared in touch with us from Seattle. I believe he's heading up our engineering staff now. So that's good. And of course, Mrs. Dr. Jared joining Dr. Klaus on our medical staff. Thank you for that. We appreciate you and being in touch. And also support of the podcast, one of the people that went to PayPal and helped make our venture to Lambeau Field earlier this year possible. Thank you very much for that. And let's see. Then we had a whole bunch of people corresponding with us on Twitter this week, which is really the best place to get us. It's at Packers Therapy via Twitter. Jameis, a regular. And, of course, Richard Durain, a number of posts. Thank you for that. Rob Gardner always checks in with us. Rusty is a regular contributor there, Jason. So thank you. The many people that after the game, before the game, when they're up late at night, they're anxious about the Packers, being in touch with us. It's so good to hear from you guys. It's a lot of fun to bat things back and forth on Twitter. So thank you guys for being in touch. We appreciate you listening to the show, giving your comments, even if it's just, hey, your levels are screwed up. Thanks. Oh, there's one more guy, too.
Especially my doctor and my chemicals.
That's right.
My blood work. Please contact me.
if your levels are bad.
Please contact me directly.
Does Klaus take your blood and do your levels? He does mine. We do it by mail.
Yeah.
Also, Joe Meek. I don't know if that's his real name because he is at Maison de Snark. So I'm not sure if Joe Meek's his real name. But Joe was also in touch. Always an entertaining read when Joe Meek is in touch with Packers Therapy. So thank you for that, Joe. We are very grateful. So let's go to pop culture.
Yeah, I'm going to overlap our correspondence and our pop culture by saying next week is our last podcast of 2016, I believe. Looking at the calendar, I think that's right. And Dr. Klaus started something that I would love to hear from people because I love ideas on pop culture. He sent me his movie of the year, TV series of the year, board game of the year, if you have such thing, which I'd love to hear about, some music album of the year or music of the year, if you have such thing, and computer game of the year. And if you have anything else you want to add, I guess you could have book of the year. I guess that was what would probably cover most of the main pop culture things. If you could, if you're listening to the show and like the pop culture, I'd love to hear your top of any of those categories. Email it to us at PackersTherapy@yahoo.com. And then next week for pop culture, we can review some of our top moments of the year with people. I think that'd be really fun.
I think that would be fun too. So
I'll save Dr. Klaus's for next week.
So people can do that via Twitter if they want at Packers Therapy, or they can email us PackersTherapy@yahoo.com. We chose Yahoo because we know it'll be hacked,
yes.
And that's extraordinarily important to us. The hacking, always a good thing, unless it's a cough. Then it's not a good thing at all.
No. And enough hacking going around here. Everyone's sick, it seems like. But pop culture, I have a pop culture this week.
Okay.
I saw Star Wars Rogue One.
With your son, I understand.
I did. That's why we didn't do the podcast last night, because we got tickets and I realized it was overlapping, so I'm sorry. But I hope this doesn't make you mad, but it was the second time I saw it, so I've seen it twice already. I'm on my way to watching it probably five or six times in total, because that's just what I do with Star Wars movies. And I loved it. I loved it. I think, Chris, of all the Star Wars movie, I think this is one you probably like the most. It's there's a lot of Star Wars related things that you kind of go back to. There's a lot of, and I don't want to spoil it in case anyone hasn't seen it yet. So I'll just say there are a lot of things for fans to like. I think it was a little bit different than other Star Wars. It certainly was better than the George Lucas debacles, the 1, 2, and 3 episodes. Lots of cool stuff. I thought it was a movie that a fan made, which I think is very, very, very cool. So I really liked it. Dr. Klaus saw it. He really liked it. I can't imagine if you're a Packer fan and listen to this podcast that you wouldn't like it, but maybe you listened for Chris, and then maybe you wouldn't like it, and you'd want to watch Annie Hall instead. Will you see it, Chris? Do you have any interest in seeing?
No, I watched 4, 5, and 6, the original trilogy that came out.
Your son?
And
must watch it.
I'm sorry.
Right? Your sons?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Absolutely, they do. But I was sated after those three. That was good enough for me. And then when 1, 2, and 3 came out, I wasn't interested, and it turned out they were kind of tepidly reviewed anyway. And I said, okay, fine, and I kind of put that to bed. So I really don't have much interest, in seeing the new ones that come out. I mean, that kind of ran its course for me when I saw the first three back in, late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah, see, for me, I grew up with them, and so they'll always be close to my heart. So I'm just going to watch every single one forever. But I think if you haven't watched any of the ones recently, this one is a standalone story. It's not, you're not going to have to watch a trilogy. Fill it up for an action movie in the summer sometime when this comes out on DVD or it's on HBO, I think you should watch it. It's great. I really liked it. So I hope other people like it too. I'd be curious to hear their review of it. I listen to a podcast called Slash Filmcast that I think will review this twice, and they're very good at what they do on that show, if you ever want to hear a good review of it. And it was a ton of fun. And my son and I had a great time, and I saw it with a buddy the first night when it was very icy outside. I put my life in my own hands going to the theater that night, but it was well worth it. So that's my pop culture this week.
You mean you like that better than Jason Bourne walking around and speaking into a headpiece? You think that was much better? Okay.
Yeah. That's what I'm sure. Not even close. Perfect. Yeah.
I have not watched the most recent Bourne. I will probably during the Christmas break. That's one of the things I want to accomplish, mainly because your review of it was so encouraging.
It really is special.
I have got two pieces of pop culture. The first is, you know, this is the time of the year where there's all these, you know, top 20, top 50, top 10, this or that in pop culture. And I follow AV Club, I follow Vulture, you know, The Atlantic, Paste Magazine, all these places have these lists. And I was looking at the music lists, and one album kept consistently churning up on the list. Well, there actually were a couple that did, but one that I hadn't heard of, and it sounded like it might be somewhat interesting, and it was on a whole bunch of these Rolling Stone, you know, all of the typical music blogs were talking about this record. It's by a group called Pine Grove. It's one word, Pine Grove, and the album's Cardinal, and it's an album that's actually available on Bandcamp. If people who like indie music, you can go there and you can, you know, download music. You can listen to full tracks there, as a matter of fact. And a lot of these artists, the prices aren't fixed. It's, you know, give whatever you want to give to pay for the album. In fact, Mike Behrens, who I've talked about before in this podcast, has got a whole slew of his recordings available for purchase at Bandcamp. But so does Pine Grove, and the album is Cardinal, and it has made just most of the major best of lists for 2016. I would describe the music as being a place where alt country meets emo. And I don't think it's necessary for everyone, but it is critically highly regarded. Now, having said that, of course, the latest Bon Iver album is on a lot of these lists too, and that is definitely an acquired taste. So you got to take some of this with a grain of salt, because sometimes critics, you know, aren't necessarily listening for all of us. But I did like this as I kind of went through it. And the great thing, or at least as far as I'm concerned, the great thing, what Pine Grove has done, if you go ahead and you download their album from Bandcamp, and again, there's no fixed pricing, it's whatever you want to give, the proceeds from this will go to support Planned Parenthood. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Unlike Dave and I, who, you know, when you give us money, we pocket it. Apparently, they're not going to pocket the money they're getting on the sales from Bandcamp. They're giving it to Planned Parenthood. So if you are oriented in that direction and you want to download some good music, or at least give it a listen, I would recommend going to Bandcamp and checking out Cardinal by Pine Grove. And one other little tidbit I want to offer, and this is a Twitter account. I guess that's in the popular culture as well. And I guess it's been out there for a few months. I just found out about it over the weekend. In fact, I think it was yesterday on Sunday. And maybe you've seen this, Dave. It's a Twitter account. It's at Captain Andrew Luck. And it's actually – Captain is C-A-P-T Andrew Luck, okay, at Captain – Andrew Luck. And it's very fresh and it's hilarious. And it's dispatches from Andrew Luck. And the picture they have of him is like sepia tone, like back in the Civil War.
Yeah.
And each one of the posts are written like he's, you know, writing to his mother during the Civil War. Think of the Ken Burns documentary, you know, and it's, you know, dearest mother, you know, have to go to the frozen country to face the great horned menace today, you know. Pray to God that I survive the horrible conditions.
Did they just do that for the Vikings game? Was that a Vikings fan that did that?
No, they've done it since August, since the season began.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
And you know, if you click on it, it'll be like, you know, a picture of Andrew Luck and, you know, again, done up where it's just his head, so it does look like a period piece because he's got that neck beard. And there's a lot of the posts are about the beard. And they put, like, that music from the Civil War documentary behind him as somebody is reading these, you know. And it's really funny. It's very well done. And it's worth, I don't know if it's worth a follow, but it's certainly worth checking out at CAPT Andrew Luck, at Captain Andrew Luck, and at least page through the tweets, and it'll give yourself 15 minutes of good amusement, because Andy Luck has got a nasty beard, let's be honest about it. And somebody finally figured out that, hey, it looks like this guy could have been in the Civil War, you know?
That is funny. I've seen one of them, but I didn't quite understand what they were getting at, and I moved on, but I will look at it again. It looked funny.
Yeah, there's an entire account that somebody has made up, and it is very good. It's very funny. Last thing I want to mention in pop culture, and it's in reference actually to something that came up last week when I mentioned a trip hop track called "Controlling Crowds" by the group Archive, and one of our listeners, who's a friend and also a business colleague from Madison, he and his wife own a terrific design firm. Pregorsch Media Design, if you're in the market. Anyway, Hans heard that, and I guess he's an enormous trip-hop fan. And so he went to his personal archive, and when I saw him at dinner tonight, he gave me an entire DVD loaded with classic trip-hop as his very special Christmas gift to me after hearing us reference trip-hop during the pop culture segment last week. So Hans, thank you very much for that. Haven't heard it yet because just got home an hour or two ago and did this podcast, but I look forward to downloading it and listening to it. And the fact of the matter is that here at Packers Therapy, we do accept gifts as well as money through PayPal.
Yes, we do. Yeah. We'll take gifts that we can sell on eBay.
Yeah.
That would be fine too.
Yeah, you know, Klaus has done that, you know. Why not, you know?
Gifts are great. I'll take it.
We love gifts. Oh, by the way, I should have mentioned this. Pine Grove, somebody compared them to the group Bright Eyes. Are you familiar with Bright Eyes? Do you remember them?
You're making all this up in my mind.
Yeah, there's a lot of people listening to this podcast who have heard of Bright Eyes. Connor Oberst is the man behind Bright Eyes. Anyway, the comparison that one of the magazines made to Pine Grove is Bright Eyes. So if you like the Connor Oberst stuff, you may well like this. So that's what I have there. Any last thoughts, Dave, about popular culture, Packers football, what's coming up next for Green Bay? What do you think?
I don't think I have anything else. I'm looking forward. I think this will line up to be a Packer victory in my mind, and then it all comes down to the last game of the season. And you know what's interesting is if they – lose against the Lions, I don't feel like we've been cut short, because as someone said, we've been in the playoff situation for the last few weeks, and it's felt like playoff football, so I don't feel like I'll be cheated this year either way. It's definitely been entertaining, but let's win one more. Let's go into that Detroit game with everything on the line, and because even if the Lions lose, it doesn't matter. The Packers have to win that last game if they beat Minnesota.
Yep.
So, I'm looking forward to it. I have carefully guarded hopes with these next two games.
Well, you know, that's one of the things, and we've talked about this before in the podcast. It's about the journey of your season. And, you know, they lost four games in a row, and it was tough, it was hard, it was bleak, and now they've won four. And so you've got the other side of that same coin. And it's about, are we a part of this journey? Are we enjoying it? This is why it's fun to be a fan. In some ways, maybe it was better they came out at 4-6, backs against the wall, because it makes it more interesting. They win again and again and again. And now these games suddenly mean something. And even if they don't reach the postseason, it has been fun. I wish I remembered who it was that was, you know, good enough to mention that these are all basically elimination games now, and it rises the stakes. It makes it a lot more interesting. It makes it fun. And that's what being a fan is supposed to be about. It's supposed to be fun. If it's not fun, you're doing something wrong. I suppose it's kind of like sex that way. If you're not having fun, you're doing something wrong. And this is, I think, the case with your sports teams and certainly with the Packers. So it's been a good time the last 4 weeks. And, you know, Christmas Eve, what could be better? You know, a noon start, Christmas Eve, watch the game, win or lose, you know, it's a great day for most people anyway. And so this is kind of cool. I would be better, of course, if they could win the last two. But it just has made it fun. It's been a revitalizing kind of experience. So I'm looking forward to it. And I think I might even watch the game.
I think I will, too. Now that you've compared it to...
Yes.
My kids are walking around, so I can't say. But, now I'll watch
it. The reason your kids are walking around, Dave, the reason they are walking around, is because... Yeah, okay. I'll show you some... I'll show you some diagrams later, okay, about all that, yeah.
Got it.
All right, so Dave and I have decided that we are going to spend the second most holy Christian holiday watching Packers football. We hope that you will do that too, regardless of how it is that you spend December the 24th. We hope that you will find time to watch the Packers and find time to listen to us next week. And until that time, I'm Chris.
I'm Dave.
And that's Packers Therapy.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Dave.
And that's Packers Therapy.